Check, check. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are going to get into the part of service where we praise and we don't stop praising. In worship or in church life, it's easy to get into routine. You hear us talk about it a lot, where we want to break out of routine. We don't want to just do the same thing that we do every day, every week, every Sunday. And as you know, as you've been to church any amount of time, there is an order of service, right? We get here, we get our coffee, we say hi, we sing a couple songs, there's a transition, there's a word and all this stuff. But I want to remind you this morning that worship doesn't start and end when James stops playing the guitar. Worship starts and ends when you decide to step into worship. Worship doesn't stop when we say, okay, amen, go greet one another and get coffee. Worship continues going in your heart. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is a heart posture. Worship is us saying yes to God, regardless if there's a song or not. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something that we decide to do, and it doesn't just happen to us, but we intentionally come into a place with God where we say, I'm going to worship you because you are worthy. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? We're going to, I know that it can get a little bit hard to get going in the morning, get going, you know, at the beginning of the day for some of us. And I just want to encourage you today that we wouldn't wait for that one song before we get going, or that one moment, or until I feel the goosebumps, until I know the words, but we would decide right now in this moment that we're here to worship. Amen. That we're here to engage with God. We're here to engage with what he's already doing in the room. All right. So would you guys pray with me? Jesus, we just thank you so much that you are faithful to show up, God, even when we're not, even when we don't feel like it, even when we have a lot going on in our minds and our spirits, God, that you are faithful to show up. And so, God, this morning, Lord, we start this morning by saying we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Regardless of what life has thrown at us, regardless of what the week or even this morning has thrown at us, God, we choose to praise you. We thank you, God, that you are a worthy God to praise, that you sent your son, Lord, to die for all of us in this place. And you sent your son to die so that we could live, so that we could have a life worth living, God. And we thank you that you love us, that you're with us, Lord, that you're raining down your glory in this place, God. And I just pray, Lord, for heavenly encounters this morning, God. Lord, that we would not just go through the routine of a Sunday morning, God. We would not just go through a habit that we've done for years or even decades, God, but we would do something new with you this morning, God. We're excited to be with you. We're excited. We know you're excited, and we're excited just to step into what you're doing this morning. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship, church.
I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
Survived surgery this week. Her body is now intact. She didn't lose anything. And she's on the mend. So I'm praising the Lord for that. What are you praising the Lord for? Come tell us. Let us hear your testimony, because our praise is our worship. So
took a breath, you breathed.
your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. Down.
make fun of me because they say that I need to get hearing aids. Because I always say, what? And I do have loss of hearing, but I started thinking about that in the spiritual this morning. And have any of you seen somebody with a hearing aid, how they go up here and they fiddle with it, like turn it up or turn it down or whatever they need to do? The whisper of God can be way louder than the shout of the enemy. It's depending on how we're going to tune our spiritual hearing aid. I'm going to say that again. The whisper of God can be way louder than the shout of the enemy. Depends on how we turn up our spiritual hearing aid. Y'all, I think we listen to the shout too often. When the very whisper of God is all we need to make things right in our life. What's He whispering to you today? I can guess a few things. I love you. You're mine. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's what I know, says God. I made you in my image. You're perfect in my eyes. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care what's been spoken over you. You are my child, and I adore you. I desire nothing more than for you to be in my arms. Crawl up here and rest today. Lay your head against me and just breathe. Let me take care of everything else. The whisper of God can be way louder than the shout of the enemy. Don't listen to the loud voice. Listen to the heart voice today. Who needs to hear that? I did. I need to hear that today. I need to tune my hearing to hear my Lord and my God. And I just need to say, I believe. I believe in you. I thank you, God, for everything you are to me, even things that I try and work out on my own. So today, Father, I pray for all of your loved ones here. I pray for all your kids, that your whisper would be sweet and tender to their ear, that it would bring a healing balm to their spirits, and their hearts would be healed today. Because that's what happened. That was the outcome of the cross. Healing for our hearts. Comfort for our spirits. Touch each one today, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay, love on each other. Get some coffee, and we'll meet back together in just a minute.
All right, good morning, guys. Good morning. Let's please take our seats, get ready to do declaration. Like Eric said this morning, though, even though worship is done, it's really not over in our hearts. So let's keep that going. Okay, so we're gonna do the declaration over the city. We're gonna do this in cadence because we love our city. We want to declare good things over it. So let's do this on three. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare. that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven.
Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for today. We just thank you for our city, and we thank you that we're able to declare good things over it, God. I pray that you would remind us each and every day that this is a blessing, that we have a place to live, and that we would just continue to bless it and pour out your glory onto it. And so we just thank you so much for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, can you go to the last slide of this one more time? I just had something laid on my heart. This specific spot, we took some time as a leadership team to go over and talk about what our declaration should be. We've been doing this for 2-3 years now, a while. But this one, that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, is really important. And we all have, or I can only assume, we all have our respective opinions about our government, about what our government does in our city and in our state, and specifically, one of the things that grieves my heart, and I don't know if people of Christians do this. I would hope not, but I'm sure you've seen the stickers on the back of people's cars that say F. Inslee. And I read those, and it's for sure comical. High five to you, marketing. Also, you can't change what you hate. Hate doesn't change things. Love does. Prayer does. Hate doesn't change things. And so when we're saying these things, I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven. That's not just a pretty little, oh, let's just sprinkle some Jesus glitter on our politician. That is actually declaring over the minds of people that make decisions that impact us and impact our laws and our taxes and all these things. This is us saying, Jesus, invade the hearts of those people who make those decisions. Amen? All right, let's move on to announcements. So we have, I think the first one is our potato feed, which is happening today right after church. And so this is a youth fundraiser. And my wife has been baking potatoes tirelessly. And so we hope that everybody can come and support the youth. All this money is going to go specifically to camp, specifically so we can have gas and sponsor kids. And if you feel so inclined as well, if you just want to say, hey, I want us to just sponsor a kid, just write it on one of the envelopes, or if you're going to write a check, just put it in the memo or something. And that would be well appreciated. Write it on the potato. And so you guys can do that, and we just appreciate your guys' heart and support. We will have some youth here, even the youths that go to other churches on Sunday mornings, I think are gonna make it and serve this afternoon. And so right after church, we'll be here downstairs. We were hoping to be outside, but I don't think weather's gonna permit it. And so that'll be awesome. The next one will be our men's barbecue. So originally we had it for Friday the 14th. We're actually changing it to Saturday. There was a schedule conflict. And so Saturday the 15th at 6 p.m. we'll be here at the church, and we're going to barbecue, and we're going to eat something barbecued and something good, and we're going to talk about Jesus, and it's going to be awesome. And so men, make sure you guys put this in your calendar, invite friends, family, coworkers, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last thing is giving. Yep, we just thank you guys for continually to give, continuing to sow into this house, continuing to just bless this house and what God's doing here. You guys can give in the box as well as online. And I think that's it. Pastor?
All right, praise the Lord.
What's going on here?
Just crashed. Never mind. So last week, I shared on artificial intelligence, and it was kind of heavy, I understand, for some. And it is heavy. I have to admit, it can be overwhelming when you start look at all of the the different aspects of it and potentially all the tremendous changes that can come to our lives because of it. And so this week is part two. No, I'm just kidding. It is kind of part two, though, because this week I really wanted to focus on the promises of God. And because I thought it would be a great contrast for all of the potential bad news that is involved in artificial intelligence. And so I was just going to give you a whole bunch of scriptures, but I thought, well, this is a good time to actually teach on the promises of God and what it means to have promises of God. So we're going to start off with the idea, what is a promise? What is a promise? A promise is a declaration, written or verbal, made by one person to another, binding the person who makes it to do or forbear a certain act specified, gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or claim the performance or forbearance of the act. In other words, a promise is something that is initiated by an individual that's communicating to someone else or to a group and saying that I am going to fulfill this act that I said that I was going to do. When my kids were growing up, they always would ask me, Dad, can we go do this tomorrow? And they would tell me what it is. And I would think of this is when I was very busy working. I'd think of my work schedule and I'd go like, well, I can't tell you whether I can or not. And they go, Dad, it's like, come on, promise. I said, no, I can't tell you that I'm going to be able to fulfill that because I may end up breaking your promise. So tomorrow, when the day comes and we're at the end of the day and I know how much time is left, if we have the time, we can go do that. They hated that because I wasn't committing, but I really knew the value of a promise to someone. And I knew the value of the promise that God made to me. So I wanted to be someone that fulfilled his word. When I don't fulfill my words, I feel very bad. Even when it's an appointment, you know, when it's an appointment, something else comes up. I ask people, listen, I know that we scheduled this, and if we have to still schedule it today, I will do it. But usually people let me out, but I'm willing to go. I've made that commitment. I'm willing to go and fulfill it. I mean, unless, of course, I'm in the hospital or something like that, then I can't do that. Scriptural context is in Scripture, the promise of God is a declaration or assurance of bestowing blessings on his people, resting on God's justice, power, benevolence, and immutable veracity and cannot fail of performance. So in other words, God's promises are true. When you receive one of God's promises into your heart, it will not fail. Now, it may not be in our timing, it may not be in the way that we want it to come about, but if God has put his promises in his word, then when we take them, we say, I'm going to apply this to my life, he cannot lie, and we will see that. So let's look at our first verse. Our first verse covers that, actually. It's Hebrews 6, 16 through 18. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. Kind of like what I said, when someone in the Old Testament, when they would make an oath, they would say, this person here is going to, like maybe a king or something, that make sure that I fulfill this oath. Now, we know that in courtrooms, what do people do? They put their hands on the Bible, right? And they're taking an oath that whatever they say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How many know that that's not true anymore? People don't really say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Then it says here, God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. So the two things that are unchangeable with God are that he's made a promise and he's made an oath. And who did he make the oath with? There was nobody greater than himself. His oath is from himself. He's oathed to himself that his promise is true. And we realize that we can believe in that because it is impossible for God to lie. I know that's hard for us to comprehend because so many of us have lied through our lives. And it seems like it's a pattern that we do to get out of a potential problem. Well, if I just say a little gray area here, then they're not going to know that I forgot to do that. And so, I haven't done that yet. Anybody ever use that? I haven't done that yet, or I haven't gotten to that, you know, or I've just started it. And just started it means I've thought about it just when you walked up here and realized I hadn't completed that request. Those are lies, but it's not possible for God to lie. 1 Corinthians 19 through 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So this is saying that the gospel was preached by my companions, and it's not a gospel that it's yes and no. In other words, it's not a gospel that's on and off. It's not a gospel that has, you know, one day saying one thing and the next day saying another. This is a gospel that says yes. This is a gospel that says, I have died for you. This is a gospel that says, if you will believe in me, you will have everlasting life. It doesn't change. It's because it's true. But then he goes on to say, but for all of the promises of God. So how much is all? Anybody ever seen the detergent all? It's like all, you know, and it's like, why could they coin that phrase all? Because they're not all the detergents in the world. All means everything. All means there's nothing that is excluded. So all of God's promises are what? Yes, amen, in him. That's the key. That is the key for us to receive those promises. That they are in him. They're in Christ. When we're in Christ, when we're in his life, when we're in his ways, we can receive his promises. When we're outside of that, his promises are hard to grasp. Number one, we can't develop the faith to receive them. And number two, it's impossible for God to fully work in our lives when we're pushing him away. When we're saying, Lord, we don't want you in our life right now, or we're ignoring you, it's hard for him to work in our lives because he is not someone who's going to force himself in. We have to graciously say, I want you to work in my life. And when we do that, all of his promises that we read in the word, we're going to say are yes and amen. I know it's hard for us to comprehend that every single promise he says is true, but that is the nature of God. And as believers, we have to come to the mindset that if he said it, I'm going to believe it. That settles it. In other words, it's written in heaven, and he's declared it, and he's made it so it's now written on earth. I can now receive that in my heart and in my life. So here's a good one that's a promise, but it's also a truth about how we're to really view bad news, how we're to view the world. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir the gift. This is 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And then this famous one, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is a song that we sing, sound mind for a spirit of fear. But not just sound mind, power for a spirit of fear. Not just power, love for a spirit of fear. So last week when I was sharing the complexities and the overwhelmingness of artificial intelligence, it's sometimes easy to let that focus that we've set on that item for a little bit start to have us feel fear. Start to have us feel like, oh, I'm not sure, I'm kind of feeling anxious about this, Pastor. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is not giving that to you. And so what we have to realize is that even though there is bad news out there, it's not the truth. The truth is that God is for you. And if God is for you, nothing can be against you. Now you're saying, well, Pastor, what happens if I end up losing my job because of it? Or what happens if, you know, we're destitute because of it? You won't be destitute because you will be in Christ and he will take care of you. I don't care where you are. I don't care how slim it may be. If you're in Christ and you're relying on him, it will be enough. Well, you mean if I'm just eating a cracker a day, it will be enough. Because that cracker can be supernatural when you eat it, and it could be like 5,000 calories if you need it. I'm just telling you, our God is a miracle-working God. You know, well, what if we're like in a food line and, you know, we're only getting, who cares? It's not, God is your source. If he has to, he'll provide on your table a supernatural meal. That's my God. That's who, if we had to, we'd say, Lord, thank you for this food. Like I've heard others say before, and you know, this is when food's available, but they didn't have the money. They'd say, Lord, thank you that you're providing for us. And there's someone in this room, their family, believe that way. And they receive a knock at the door, and they would go to the door, and the food was there. Isn't that right, Eric? It happened more than once because they were relying on God for their needs. You think any God's respecter of persons? He did it for Eric and the family. He'll do it for us. He's done similar things for me. The thing is that we have to learn to trust in God. We have to learn to put our confidence in him, not in what the world says. Yes, I was communicating to you things that are coming up, but I felt responsible. I was telling somebody, I felt like I was on the wall and I was seeing an army coming in. And you know what it says? If you don't sound the trumpet when you see the army coming in, and the city doesn't know that the army's coming, you're responsible for that army coming, and you didn't warn them. And so I wanted to make sure I was letting you know what information I had and what things I was seeing. And to me, it was something that I wanted you to all be aware of. That doesn't mean that you go and you totally focus on that, because we want to focus on God, because he is our source. He is our source during any situation. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I would say for the coming days, memorizing 2 Timothy 1:7 would be a good thing to do. And it's pretty easy to memorize. Pretty easy to memorize. Here's another verse that is good. And it helps us realize that there's more going on with us than us, our own abilities to try to conjure up something. It says here in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this is a truth that somehow, some way, when we receive the Holy Spirit, the love of God is poured into us. Now, I don't think it's poured into us by measure either. I think we have the love of God. I don't know how it works out. I don't know how all the love fills this vessel, but somehow, some way, supernaturally, I have the love of God, and it's been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So if we have the love of God, listen to this. 1 John 4:18-19 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. So there's no fear in love. So if I have the love of God poured in my heart, poured in your heart, what does that mean should be not in your heart? Fear. Because if we receive his perfect love, it casts out, it eradicates all fear. So what does this mean? How does this happen, Pastor? You're saying something that sounds like it's too good to be true. Now, it's not too good to be true, but it has to be applied. It has to be appropriated. You have to say this, Lord, you've poured your love into my heart. I receive your love. I am loved. You say that I am loved. You are love, and you've set your affections on me for whatever reason. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it, but you're setting your affections and your love on me. And because of that, Lord, fear is eradicated from my life. Now, you may not feel immediately the fear leaving. You may have to walk this out by faith a few times. Maybe you'll have to walk it out for some years until you get it truly in your heart. Your mind is renewed that you are to be loved. Not that you're to be loved only, but you are loved. Even though you don't think you deserve it. None of us think we've earned it, hopefully. None of us think that we're like next in line for the Trinity, right? No, we're individuals on this earth that have been redeemed. We still make mistakes, but God loves us with an everlasting, eternal love. How about this? Did I finish that scripture? I think I got it. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're enveloped in fear, God's love hasn't been perfected. It's a sign. If you're feeling fear, anxiety, well, God, I need your love because I need your perfect love. And the thing is, you're saying I need your love. Well, he's poured his love into you. It's like, okay, how does this work? How did he pour his love into me and I don't feel it? It's because you haven't focused on it. You're focusing on so many other things. If you take time for a just brief moment and just say, Lord, you love me. Now, you know what is a good way to do that? Say, Lord, I have your hands and I have your feet. These are your arms. I'm going to let you love me. And just hug yourself. We did this before. It's kind of a weird thing. But the thing is what you're doing, you're by faith, you're appropriating this truth. God loves you. What is it you said that the Lord wanted them to climb up in their lap and just get a hug from him? Well, I mean, that's supernatural. But you can say, Lord, I'm climbing up your lap and you're hugging me. You're like, Pastor, this is ridiculous. No, this is faith. And faith sometimes looks ridiculous to the natural mind. But to the spiritual, your spirit's going to say, yes, I've been waiting for you to catch on to this. All right. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now take the fact that you've had his love poured in you. Nothing can separate you from that. Except one thing. You don't focus on him. You keep your attention fixed on all the situations and circumstances, then you're not able to receive the love of God. It's impossible to be in fear and in faith at the same time. And faith is necessary to receive the love of God. Because it's not something that comes natural. I mean, I've known a lot of people through life. There are very rare individuals that somehow, some way, just grasp this idea that they're loved. That there's nothing that can separate them from the love of God. For most of us, something we have to say, nope, you know, I'm determined, I'm persuaded, I'm going to believe this word that says I'm fully persuaded in some translations that nothing can separate me from God's love. Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. So to them, to all those who needed to hear the good news, he wanted to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we not only have the Holy Spirit, we have Christ in us. This is a promise. Well, how's it a promise? Because I'm going to apply it as a promise because it's in his word. It says that Christ is in me. And then I'm going to dovetail it with this scripture, Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And he's confirming that by saying he's never leaving or forsaking me. See, the thing is, so many of us think that God's with me, and we think that he's like just walking beside us. And he's like, you know, like if we take our eyes off of him, you know, we don't see him. He's like, you know, oh, I've left him. No, he's always with you. Wherever you go, you're taking Holy Spirit. You're taking Christ. And because he will never leave us, get this. So we may boldly say now, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Well, we can look at what has happened to many other people and say, well, it looks like man can do something to us. I mean, you look at some of the early Christians, they were martyred. It looks like man's doing something to them. Only if God gives them the permission to, I believe. So what does this tell me? This tells me that man really can't do anything. That's why people in other countries say, you can take my life because I'm following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And that's a great song to sing. You know, we can sing it. No turning back, you know. But does that mean that tomorrow I'm going to the gallows? Maybe. None of us really know. But in other countries, it could mean that for them. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. But the ultimate thing is, what can man do to me? Christ is in me. They do something to me, they're not really doing it to me. They're doing it to Jesus. And he's got me. I know this is radical thinking. This is thinking that stretches our hearts and our minds, but they need to be renewed to the place where we just say, you know what? I'm God's, and the enemy, no matter what he does to me, is not going to be successful against me. He gets the victory. The scripture just before Romans 8:38 is where it says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. I'll read it here just so you know I'm not lying. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this is where Paul says, you know, I've been through tribulations, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Then he says, for your sake, we're killed all day long. In other words, I'm giving up my life for the church, for the body of Christ. Yet in all those things I just mentioned, and there were more, we're more than conquerors. And then he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Ephesians 1:13-14. And we're talking about promises of God. Keep in mind. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This goes along with Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've been sealed. You guys know what it means to be sealed? You ever seal a letter? You know, you lick it and you... Now, some of the envelopes, they don't always stick. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit sealed us, put the seal of God on us, it's permanent. We have been sealed for the day of redemption. We have been sealed for when our bodies are finally going to be in glory and transformed into incorruptible. It's the guarantee, though, of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit's been given to us as a guarantee. So what does this mean? Well, it says that the Holy Spirit is there confirming in us, in other scriptures, that we're saved. How do you know you're saved? Anybody ever had that question? How do you know you're saved? Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit confirms in my heart that I'm saved. Well, what about when you do certain things? It's like, Holy Spirit confirms in my heart that I'm saved. I have bad behavior sometimes, and I have to ask the Father to forgive me, and I have to come and say, I repent. I'm going to change my behavior, my habits to the very best of my ability, and I know that you've created a new creation here, so you've given me an ability to be new. So right now, I'm asking, though, for your forgiveness. But that still doesn't change the fact that I'm saved or not saved. I'm saved because of what Jesus did, and we don't have it here, on the cross. As I said, it's not based on my behavior. It was based on his behavior of yielding and surrendering to the will of God when everything else in the world was trying to tell him, no, become king, no, you know, do this, oh, you're a miracle. All the people said, this is amazing, we want you to stay with us. And he said, no. That's not the will of the Father. The will of the Father is to lay down my life. Because he did that, he laid down his life, I can take up his life and live in him. and have this life that is secure in his love. Because of him laying down his life and sacrificing it. He gave it freely. No one took it from him. He freely gave his life. Now I can take his life, and because I take up his life, his cross, take up his mission for my life, his desire for my life, to know him, to walk with him, to be like him, now his love fills me, and now I'm secure in Christ. I'm safe. No good, nothing evil can come upon me that he doesn't allow. And if he allows it, he's got a grace for me to go through it. There is a grace that can get you through anything. Now, it's not the same grace for all of us. We all have different graces that we have to walk through. Well, one person can go through and it's a grace that to go through maybe a torrential thing or a horrible thing, you know, like the loss of a child. Don't want that anybody have to deal with that grace. But there was a grace for us to walk through the loss of a child. But that grace is not the same grace that you need to lose a job. God knows what kind of things we're going to face. And there is a grace for all of us to go through what we go through when we're in him. If we're outside of him, then what's going to happen is we're going to go through these things and we're going to be miserable. We will. We'll be miserable because it's like, oh, this is so hard. Well, you're dealing with it like the world deals with it. But if you're in Christ and you're trusting in him for all your circumstances, for whatever comes in the future, you know, whether it's we all come to church on Sunday and, you know, we've been, you know, just in our virtual worlds during the week or whatever it is. If we're in Christ, it's all going to work out no matter what happens in the world. When I'm looking at news, and there's been crazy news back and forth all over the world these past few weeks, and someone says, well, how do you do that and not be overwhelmed? How do you sleep at night? Because my future is in him. My total future is in him. It's not in the world. It's not in the things of the world. It's not in anything that has to do with anything I can control. Or people trying to control me. It's in him. He is what I and who I look to. He is who I live and move and have my existence in. All right, Jeremiah. Now, this is a scripture. You almost have to read all the scriptures ahead of it, because it just sounds like he's just like just praising the Lord. But he was complaining bad before this scripture. I mean, he's talking about these people want to kill me. I'm miserable. You might as well just let me die. I mean, he's really upset. This is Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. And yet, all of a sudden, I'm in the wrong one. But he does this too in Jeremiah 20, in the book of Jeremiah, but I thought it was in Lamentations. This is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So this is the key. Seeking him and finding him. It says that those who draw to God, draw near to God, he draws near to them. It says that if we seek him with all our heart, we'll find him. What does all our heart mean? It means that we're setting aside everything else that can capture our heart. That's what all your heart means. Sometimes you have to fast to get to the place where you're doing it with all your heart. Do you guys know that? Because life is just so busy, you know, so captivating. Sometimes you have to get everything else out of your life so you can seek him with all your heart. I don't think I seek God with all my heart every single day, just being honest. I mean, I read my word, pray, do some studying, you know, but it's not like really with all my heart. There's times and seasons that I have to seek him with all my heart. Maybe I'm going through something. Maybe I'm not feeling his love. Maybe there's circumstances and situations that I know are coming up that are starting to get me anxious. That's when I really need to seek him with all my heart, with everything that's inside of me, holding nothing back. saying, Lord, I'm going to set all this stuff, this junk aside right now, and I choose to seek you with all my heart. And I'll find him. And when I find him, guess what? I find those truths. Your love, child. I've got this. I'm your source. We're going to go through this together. I'm in you. That's the same stuff I learn every time. I don't like all of a sudden get like a brand new revelation. No, it just means I come back to those truths. I'm rattling off these truths to you, but they don't always stick in my own heart. Sometimes things come up and I have to start going, okay, Lord, bring these thoughts to captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, let's chain these thoughts in. Let's bring these thoughts into a place where they have to be responsible to what the Lord says, not what the circumstances are saying, not what I think these thoughts are going to mean in my life. No, what does God say about these thoughts? Well, God says, it doesn't matter what the tribulations of the world bring you. I've overcome the world. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. You're more than a conqueror in me because I love you. I gave my life for you. Now getting back to Lamentations. Lamentations is, again, Jeremiah, and this these scriptures before, almost through 20, he's just complaining, he's moaning, he's upset. Like I said, he wants to kill himself. I mean, he doesn't want to be born. I mean, he's just like, he was a prophet who nobody was listening to, maybe a couple people, but most of them were all just doing their own thing. They were getting ready to go into captivity. They went into captivity, and some that went, you know, were like Daniel and his friends, and some of these were people that were spared from all the judgment was coming to Judah. And so what ends up happening is he's in Lamentations now, and he's talking about the things that he's miserable about. But then all of a sudden he says this, then I recall to my mind. Then I recall to my mind. In other words, wait, I have an epiphany. Wait. What am I doing? Why am I taking my focus off of the one who even called me into this ministry as a prophet? And he says, therefore, I have hope. Because And I mean, you read this stuff behead. I didn't want to do it because no negative today. But I mean, he's upset. He's mad. He's frustrated. He's ready to give up. But then he says, then I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. In other words, I'm still here. I saw, you know, thousand around me that all died because they weren't listening to God. Because his compassions fail not. In other words, he's always compassionate. And if you ever read this in Jeremiah, he gave them, I mean, he said, you guys are done. I'm going to destroy you. You know, if you don't listen to me, you haven't been listening to it. And he's like, God's just railing on them through the prophet. But then all of a sudden, they come to him saying, Jeremiah, what do we got to do? And God says, oh, they're asking. Well, if you guys do this, if you give up, you go to Babylon, I'll make sure everything's okay. Oh, that's not what we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear how many jumping jacks we have to do or how many bulls we have to sacrifice. We don't want to give ourselves over to the Babylonians, and they try to escape, and they end up getting in trouble again. Even after God said they're judged, when they came to him and said, Lord, God, what do we have to do to be saved? Jeremiah says, well, I'll go talk to him. And he gave him the answer, and they wouldn't listen. So, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. His compassions, his mercies, they're new every morning. As believers, we need to realize that we're not to put our hands on the plow and look back. We're not to be people that are constantly looking back in our past. Looking in yesterday, our failures, our past, the things that we missed out on, or the mistakes that we made. We're to be people that keep our eyes forward, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes straight ahead. And when we do that, we can say, this is a brand new day you've created. Yesterday is a wash. It was horrible. But now you give me a brand new day to live in. You know another way how I handle all that news? Because I just live one day at a time. How many times have you heard that during different things that we've gone through, Eric? Eric says, what about this? What about that? It was like, yeah, it might happen, but I'm living for today. I'm living one day at a time. And you know what? When you have that attitude, there's not many pressures for the day. And if the pressures do come, guess what? Lord, you're my source. Help me through this. Give me your peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. I just receive that peace right now. I don't care like what the circumstances look like. I'm going to receive your peace that you promised me. Because my heart's not going to be troubled or it's not going to be afraid as you promised when I'm in your peace. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Notice, I recall my mind, and now he's saying in his soul, the Lord's my portion. What's that mean? The Lord is my source. He's the one who's got what I need. He is my portion. And you know what? What I have here from him today may not be what I need from him tomorrow. We need our daily bread. We need our daily manna. We need our daily word of God. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Now keep in mind, this is the guy who was just ready to give up. And he's reminding himself. He's bringing back to mind. And he's developing hope. This is an illustration for all of us. How do we go from being negative and miserable to thinking right? We remember the promises of God. We remember his faithfulness. We remember that his compassion doesn't fail. We remember that he's our source. We remember that all the good things that we receive are coming because we're looking to him and we're waiting for him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's really the key. Waiting for his answer. It will come. It will eventually come. So I'm here to tell you that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So no matter how bad of a picture Pastor paints on a Sunday, you remember that God is greater than even the bad word that Pastor Mike brought. Or the fear that maybe gripped you because of the information that I gave you. We have to realize that he's a good, good father. And as that song says, if we're making room for him in our life and allow him to do whatever he wants to do, you know what? Things will work out. And if they don't work out the way you wanted them, then yield to his will. Because he knows what's best for us. He knows that sometimes we need to have some pain in our life to come up into his presence. Because we've been so distracted with life, we forgot about him. I'm not saying he's putting the pain on you. I'm just saying pain comes sometimes. In this life, you will have what? Troubles. Anybody ever had a trouble? Every day, kind of, right? Thank you, Lord. I put these little extra. These are bonuses. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace. The Hebrew word there is shalom. But you know, it's the only place in the Bible where it says shalom, shalom. I will keep you in complete, whole, nothing can separate you from this peace if your mind is stayed on me. Your imaginations. How many like have an imagination that runs wild? All of a sudden you hear something, all of a sudden you start painting all these pictures of every bad thing that could potentially happen. I always like to give the illustration. You hear that there's going to be a layoff at work. All of a sudden you start thinking, what am I going to do? A layoff and I don't have a job and I can't feed my family. Well, now you're imagining you're setting your mind on a potential future of disaster. Why don't we turn it and say, you know what I'm gonna set my mind on? He's my source. He never fails. His compassions never fail. His love for me is never, never going to be separated from me. See, it's a matter of how we look at things. It's all about, do we have truth in our life that we allow to be the number one preeminence, or do we let lies permeate our hearts? So we let lies permeate our hearts, we will live in fear. So know the truth, experience the truth, live in the truth, and we will live free. Free indeed. The enemy will try to put things on you, and you know what you say? Bring it on, because I'm in God. And if you wanna mess with him, then that's fine. Because if you're messing with me, you're messing with God. Because he's in me. And I'm not going to let what you do to me affect me, because he's my source. Peace I leave with you. We said this a little bit earlier. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what do we have to do? Lord, you've sent your peace. You said you've given it. I receive it. Is it that simple, Pastor Mike? Well, saying it is one thing. Believing it's another. You know, saying it up here in your head is one thing, but getting it in your heart. You have to say, Lord, I'm going to walk this day out as if your peace is with me. So things come up, start to get anxious. Nope, Lord, I receive your peace. Your peace is there. I receive your peace. You just appropriate it. Maybe for a second you start to feel his peace. Then it goes away. Lord, I receive your peace. You do that enough, you know what? You live in peace because you've received his peace. And it's become real to you. As I like to say, it's become flesh. God's peace now resides in you. And you're a conveyor of peace. You can give peace to others. Someone says, oh, I'm just all anxious. Let me pray for you. Lord, I release the peace that you've given me in my heart to my brother and my sister right now. Maybe it's someone at work that just received bad news. Lord, just let your peace comfort their hearts. And you can pray that because you know the peace has comforted your heart. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you, God, for your word. That in your word, Lord, our promises, precious promises, Lord, that... Lord, allow us to take on your divine nature. And what is your divine nature? Total connection with the Father. Total connection with peace. Total connection with love. Lord, so we receive that now, that truth. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart here will be able to hear from you that they are loved. That they are loved. And that you've got them. As Gay said earlier, you have them, Lord. They're in a safe place in your arms. And so, Lord, right now, I just release truth over their lives. Release truth over my life, Lord. So we can know your truth, and your truth can establish us in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got something?
shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. I shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. And I will make room for you.
Down the walls of all my religion. That's what I was trying to do today. It's not about coming to church on a Sunday and leaving, you know, like Jesus. It's about every single day breaking down the walls of all your past lies and everything, that all the tradition that, you know, it's about, you know, just being a good Christian. No, it's about being His. It's about letting Him live in you. And that you live back in Him. It's about a supernatural connection, not in the natural realm. It doesn't really matter as how many, you know, spiritual push-ups you do or jumping jacks. It's not going to do a thing. Only knowing Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, is how we truly get to make room for Him. Otherwise, we'll just set a few hours aside every week or every day, and that will be God's time for us. But you know, when the difficult times come, and it's not in those timelines, it's hard to carry it. It has to be 24/7. That you're just always kind of thinking about Him. When something comes up, you give it to Him. Lord, You're my source. I give this to You. And take one day at a time. Amen. Love you. Have a great day. Eric has some instructions.
So if you guys can give me about 2 minutes, let's do it right at noon. There's a clock right back there. And we are about ready to go. And I will meet you guys at the stairs to receive any payments you might have. We're asking for a $5 suggested donation per plate. And obviously you can give way more than that if you would like to. But we will have $1,000. We do have the ability to take card, and obviously we take cash. And so, so just give us a few minutes. I'll meet you guys at the top of the stairs there, and we can hang out till then. All right. Yep. Amen.